Presenting the Congressional District 3 debate between Democrat Ben Ray Lujan and Republican Jefferson Byrd. Brought to you by public media partners from across New Mexico. And moderated by veteran journalist Sam Donaldson in the KENW studios in Portales.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's debate between the incumbent congressman from this area, Ben Ray Lujan, and his Republican challenger, Jefferson Byrd. Gentlemen, the rules are very simple. I'll ask a question of some importance, I hope, and you'll have 60 seconds each to reply to it. And then you'll have 30 seconds each for a rebuttal. And if we're going really strong in that question, you'll get another 30 seconds for rebuttal. Throughout the broadcast, however, we'll ask some 10-second questions, very quick ones. Perhaps unfair, but yes or no. But if you have to have a few more sentences, of course, I'll allow it. So we'll get started now. There was a drawing of straws, and Congressman Lujan drew the long straw and is elected to have an opening statement second and a closing statement last. So, Mr. Byrd, the floor is yours.
My name is Jeff Byrd. I want to be your representative. I was born in Springer, New Mexico, and grew up my family's ranch near Mosquito. After graduating high school, I went to New Mexico State University, where I earned a Bachelor of Science in Engineering. It was there that I met my wife, Suzanne. We have two boys, Noah and Zachary. After graduating, I got a job as a consulting engineer and did that for a little over 13 years, most recently with Navajo Refinery in Artesia, New Mexico. In 2008, we found it necessary to move back to the ranch. I'm going to be talking about four things intermingled through the discussions: faith, family, finances, and fuel. Faith is important to all of us. My Savior, Jesus Christ, family is the unit that makes us strong. Finances, we have to make sure that the fiscal house is in order. And fuel of today and fuel of the futures is how we're going to do it here in New Mexico. I want your vote in November, and I want to be your representative. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Byrd, Congressman.
Hopefully everyone's tuning in this evening and want to thank you for inviting us into your homes. I want to thank PBS for hosting this important debate. And Mr. Donaldson, it's always an honor to be in front of you. I was born and raised in northern New Mexico, the proud son of Ben and Carmen Lujan, where I grew up on a small farm, learning the importance of not only hard work and tending to the acequias and the animals, but also the responsibilities that come with making sure you're looking after family and friends. This is an important conversation that's taking place in New Mexico right now, and you're going to hear a few differences between myself and my opponent this evening. My opponent supports the privatization of Medicare and Social Security, and I oppose that. We need to strengthen those important programs and make sure they're here for generations to come. My opponent will also talk about how he wants to get rid of the Department of Education. With that comes the elimination of Pell Grants and access to pre-kindergarten. You can imagine what the students here in eastern New Mexico would think if they didn't have any support for federal education. We want to make sure you get out and vote. The most important thing we can do is not only respect our constitutional responsibility and right, but please get out and vote. Early voting has already begun.
Thank you, Congressman Lujan. All right, first topic, I think of great importance to the country and certainly New Mexico: jobs and the economy. The unemployment rate has now dropped to 5.9%. Good news for the country. But here in New Mexico, it's much, much higher, 0.8 of a point, perhaps a point higher. And this state ranks near the bottom when it comes to jobs, 49th for the country. So if you're elected to Congress for the next term, what will you do specifically for New Mexico to help improve this state's job situation and economy? And please be specific, Mr. Byrd.
My goal is to put pressure on the federal agencies, the Forest Service, the Fish and Game, the BLM, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the EPA. Their regulations, not legislation, but their regulations are killing jobs across the district. The impact of listing the meadow jumping mouse, the impacts of the EPA, the impacts of the Forest Service not allowing drilling permits in northern New Mexico has resulted in thousands of jobs being lost in San Juan County. The impact of these job losses are hurting people in northern New Mexico, while at the same time, southern New Mexico is seeing a boon in those very fields. We have to change the direction here in northern New Mexico. We have to put pressure on federal agencies that are killing jobs, and we have to allow the states to make the decisions that are best for the people that live here in New Mexico.
Congressman Lujan, jobs.
Well, Sam, we have to diversify New Mexico's economy. You're absolutely correct when you say that New Mexico's economy has fallen from 15th in job creation from 4 years ago, now down to 49th. Some of the legislation that I'm proud that I've been leading an effort and bringing Democrats and Republicans on is a piece of legislation called Cooperative Research and Development Agreements, where we would open up tech transfer opportunities and commercialization between entrepreneurs and physicists and scientists. The importance of added value with agriculture. You know, we had a big fight in the Congress recently where our Republican colleagues stalled the passing of the Farm Bill for over 2 years. That meant 2 years of support that did not come down to our farmers and our ranchers, and especially when it comes to renewables. Look, if you just drive up the road up to San Juan and you're in the area of Tucumcari, Mesa Lands Community College, the North American Wind Training Facility, you can see the importance of what that revenue stream means to us. Making sure that those markets are opened up with other transmission corridors is something that I fought for and that I'll continue to work on expanding as well.
Mr. Byrd?
We need to look at the voting record of our congressman. The fact that he's voted against personal response to what the federal government is doing in our state, the listing of lands to wilderness and designating monument areas is killing jobs in northern New Mexico, and he has been supporting this. His vote against the Keystone Pipeline shows his disregard of the agencies, the businesses that are going to move us forward here in northern New Mexico.
You voted that way?
What Jeff doesn't like to talk to our community about is when we talk specifically with the Lucero family up in the Hemis, I convened a meeting with the federal partners and the family and followed up with that to make sure we're continuing to keep pressure on them. That'll lead to more opportunities for our local families and our producers. And, Jeff, it was Republicans that actually delayed the passage of the adoption of the Keystone Pipeline when they insisted in a budget bill back in 2012 that the president act within 20 days or 30 days, and you just couldn't do that. So they started the clock again. So, look, again, we need to make sure that the rhetoric meets the facts.
Okay, a question that's really part of our discussion that we began here about fiscal policy. Now, where do you stand on that taxation? Do we spend less or more on social programs? Do we continue to cut taxes, particularly some claim on the wealthy, shut down the government to make a point, vote for or against raising the national debt ceiling so we can pay our debts and other to make a point? It's a general question, but give us an idea of where the two of you stand when it comes to taxation and spending, Congressman?
Sam, I oppose the Paul Ryan budget. My opponent will talk about supporting aspects of that. He has his own penny plan, which is a sequestration plan. When I had an opportunity to speak up for New Mexicans on the Budget Control Act, which led to sequestration, I voted against that. Now, if we look at a time in our nation's history when we had balanced budgets, we have surpluses that were being handed off to the next president, you look into the time under President Clinton, and there's some simple fiscal policy that was called PAYGO. It was paying for legislation as you went on. Republicans eliminated that legislation when they took over the office. We need to return to those times. And again, $5.1 trillion in projected surpluses coming into 2001, 2002, 2003. We saw Iraq and Afghanistan and tax breaks for the most wealthy in the country that were unpaid for. As long as we pay for programs as we go, we can lead to those balanced budgets again and do the strong economic standing in the country. And those are programs that I support, that I've been a part of and that I advocate for every day. And when I get reelected, God willing, with the support of our constituents, you can count on me to support PAYGO.
Mr. Byrd, taxation and spending.
Well, first I want to say I really appreciate the congressman helping me out in the discussion of what I believe in, is taking his time away. So, yes, I do support the penny pan. And the interesting thing is that moving back to a balanced budget in a fiscally responsible manner of removing one penny of every dollar spent over a number of years versus what our congressman is proposing, which is a balance of budget overnight, basically, by going right back to PAYGO, would cause economic strife in the federal government. The plan, the penny plan, will get us back to a balanced budget so that we can move forward and we start paying down that debt. We get away from deficit spending, which is important to the economy. We also need to work on our tax system. I am in favor of changing our tax system to a system that would be more fair to the taxpayers of America. And by doing so, that would encourage everyone to be a part of the system and not just a part of the problem.
Mr. Byrd, let me understand the penny plan. Are you proposing that you want to take one penny out of every government program, every expenditure, or just selected ones?
At this time, with the way the deficit spending has increased over the last 10 years, if we can just reduce one penny, 1% of everybody's budget over the next 6 to 8 years until we get revenue to matching expenditures at the federal government level, then it would it would help them be able to balance that budget and get back to a fiscally responsible budget that we used to see 14, 15 years ago, the pay-go system. But we need to do it in a manner that doesn't put a shock to the system and allows them to move into this back to a balanced budget plan in a fiscally responsible manner.
Congressman Lujan, just a penny.
Sam, the American people have heard this story again. It's like Groundhog Day all over again. It's sequestration. It's mandatory across-the-board cuts is what my opponent, Jeff Byrd, is proposing. That means cuts to Cannon Air Force Base. That means cuts to Los Alamos National Laboratories, to the infrastructure with water that's being built out in many of our communities as well. And PAYGO would not shock the system. Jeff, people don't want to hear this rhetoric. What they want is to make sure the federal government is working the way that they have to. If we buy a gallon of milk in our house, we have to pay for it. And that's what the American people want us to see. PAYGO is good fiscal policy.
Mr. Byrd, another round, please.
Well, again, PAYGO is going back to a balanced budget, and I don't disagree with that, but I want to do it in a manner that is fiscally responsible. The problem is our congressman has never run a business. He's never had to run a deficit spending over a number of years and pull a loan in order to make those payments, and I understand that. But you do that in a manner that doesn't put you out of business, that gets your budget back in order over a couple of years so that you can match what your revenues are. And that's important. We have to run this government more like a business, and we need to have business-minded people in there doing that.
A final word on this subject.
Sam, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we have to pay for programs as we go on. And where I agree with Jeff is the government needs to operate more like families. Again, if you go and buy a gallon of milk, a loaf of bread, and you put it on the credit card, that bill doesn't go away. You have to pay for it as you go. And rather than what Jeff is proposing, which is mandatory across-the-board cuts, what I'm suggesting is you go find targeted cuts or revenue to be able to pay for those programs. Again, under President Clinton, under 4% unemployment for the country, the first time that we had balanced budgets in decades, and the first time in our nation's history that we had those projected surpluses, $5.1 trillion going into the early 2000s.
All right, let's try a new subject, water. New Mexico, like most states in the Southwest, needs water. Agriculture, business, the cities use more of it. We don't have more of it. We have less of it. We're in a persistent drought. What will you do if you're a member of Congress in the next 2 years to specifically address this issue? And as you give your answer, please answer the Clovis Mayor David Landsberg's question that he sent us, which is the Ute Project. Do you support absolute 100% funding for the Ute Project?
Sam, I've been working with the communities not only up in Quay County with Tucum Carey, but also down in Curry and in Roosevelt with our leaders here in Clovis and Portales. And we've showed support for investments in this important pipeline while making sure that we're bringing attention to the fact that we need to have separate outlets and different ways of working with the community up in Quay County. That's something that you can count on me to continue to do and that we're going to continue to support. And especially with the importance of the survival of Cannon Air Force Base. We talk about the importance of water in New Mexico, especially in the eastern part of the state. And that's an effort where we have to make sure we show support. But we also have to recognize that droughts and climate change are causing some of these conditions. And if we're going to stand up to this, we need to admit that it's a problem and do something about it. And that's where my advocacy has been all along.
Mr. Byrd, your specific answer to the question of how we manage water in this state, and specifically, are you supporting the Ute pipeline?
I do support the Ute pipeline. That water from the Ute Reservoir is important to Clovis, Cannon Air Force Base, Portales, and all the communities here in northeastern New Mexico. We need to be utilizing our resources in a manner that is judicious. But we also need to be looking at ways of growing the pie. And that's why I've been proposing that we start looking at desalination plants here in New Mexico. In Texas, there's over 100 of them. In California, there's over 40. Both of those states are building more and more plants. The technology is getting better every day. And here in New Mexico, the reality is we're going to be fighting for water across the state. And so these are options of how to grow the pie and make sure that in New Mexico, every city, Clovis, Las Vegas, Rio Rancho, Santa Fe, Gallup, Farmington, has adequate water in order to build the industries necessary to provide jobs for the men and women and children of New Mexico.
How about the EQIP program, which, as I understand it, would pay farmers, for instance, to leave their wells out of it, not pump water, and they'd be subsidized for that?
Well, EQIP is a program that provides more support to our ranchers and our farmers to be able to make improvements with their irrigation infrastructure. It's a program that was included in the Farm Bill. Again, a piece of legislation that provides financial support to our farmers and ranchers. 2 years ago on this very show, my opponent said he does not support government subsidies for any private entity. That would include the Farm Bill. That would mean taking an axe to the Farm Bill and making sure that these subsidies and support would not come out to our farmers and our ranchers. That's the wrong approach. I proudly support the EQIP bill to make sure we're able to get that infrastructure into our communities. And also, I appreciate my opponent talking about desalination plants. That's a good idea as we look at technology to make sure we're able to take advantage of all of our water, including brackish water or that has a heavy salt content, to be able to provide more opportunities into our communities.
Mr. Byrd?
We have an issue here where water is just going to become more and more the number one issue, because without water, we can't grow jobs. If we don't take this one step at a time and start moving forward, my concern with EQIP is that I want to be on that ag committee, because there are real ways that we can change the program so that it saves taxpayers money, it produces more food, and that has got to be the issue. We don't want to just put farming out of business, because that will drive the food rates up. And we talk about going to the store and buying that loaf of bread and that gallon of milk. If we put those farmers out of work who are producing that material, that food, that will have a negative impact. That's just another tax that is being forced onto us in another form. We want to make sure our food is cheap. Here in America, we have been blessed with cheap food, and we need to keep that focus so that we can move forward on creating real jobs here in New Mexico.
Another problem in New Mexico, well-being of our children. Again, the number 49th. We're 49th state in taking care of children in New Mexico. What will you do as a member of Congress specifically to help this state do better? Mr. Byrd?
One of the things I want to do is put pressure on those federal agencies, and in this case, it's Department of Education. They are dictating how our kids are going to be taught here in New Mexico. I think that money needs to be transferred directly to New Mexico government, because I know that the people that work in the government here in New Mexico, the state employees whose kids and grandkids go to school with my kids, are going to do what they know is best for the educational system here in New Mexico. They're going to do what they know is best for the medical services needed for their kids and grandkids and my kids and your kids. So by pushing that authority down, it, one, makes the dollars spent more wisely used, because the reality is at the state level, more money actually gets returned to the taxpayer than at the federal level. And we need to be taking that into consideration. We need to take away the federal's involvement in many of our aspects here at home and let the people that live here decide how things need to be run properly.
How do we improve taking care of New Mexico's children?
Sammy, if I could just quickly reply to the previous question as well. It sounds like my opponent's opposed to EQIP and wants to fundamentally change that program. I hope farmers and ranchers were paying attention to that. And as he opened up, when he says that he wants to get rid of the Department of Education, I hope the students here, New Mexico State, and all campuses across America are listening to this. That means elimination of Pell Grants, access to pre-K. Sam, we need to admit that early childhood programs need to be invested in here in New Mexico, and we need to admit that poverty is a problem. The other program that my opponent wants to eliminate is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which was part of the Farm Bill. That provides to support the most hungry in America. And in New Mexico, Jeff, when New Mexico's children are amongst the hungriest in the country, that means what your proposal would do is cut access to breakfast and lunches that those kids are getting in the school. That's not right. But investments in education, Sam, access to pre-K, job training, providing more economic opportunities for our kids, and making sure that we're able to feed those that are hungry in America are the values that I grew up with, and I believe that Congress can do more to support.
Mr. Byrd, take what time you require.
Well, again, the congressman needs to quit making assumptions about my positions, because it's never good to make an assumption. I had never said that we're going to take that money away. I said it needs to be judiciously handled at a state level. The reality is our congressman has more faith in the federal government to do what is right by the people than the state employees to do what is right by the people. And it's clear because of it's just the statement he just said, the federal government can do this better. That is not accurate, and that's not my position. My position is the state employees will do a better job of teaching our kids, of making sure they're fed properly, of making sure that the state is moving in the proper direction. I have faith in the people I live with that grew up in the neighborhoods that I grew up with and whose kids are going to school with my kids. I have faith in state employees. I have faith in the people of New Mexico to do what is right for New Mexicans.
Congressman, a final word on any of the subjects we've been discussing.
Sam, look, I believe in the people of New Mexico, and Jeff has it absolutely wrong when he says I have more faith in the federal government. But what Jeff doesn't understand is even though that I believe that we need to diversify New Mexico's economy and make sure we have a stronger local economic support system rather than just the federal government, is that New Mexico receives more federal tax dollars than most states in the country. So, Jeff, it sounds like you want to increase the taxes on people in New Mexico in order to be able to pay for those programs. Again, when we talk about rhetoric, look at the facts and what the policy is that's leading up to that. All that I'm suggesting is when we talk about the importance of Pell Grants and access to student financial loans, that we're able to protect those programs. And inherently in New Mexico, students are graduating with more student debt now, approximately $30,000 a year, right, rather than $3,000. That has to change.
Well, we could continue, but I think most of our viewers have an idea of where each of you stands on these important questions. Now let's go to these 10-second questions. Admittedly, unfair perhaps, but let's try it. Yes or no, and if you have to have another sentence or two. First question, Ebola epidemic ravaging three countries in Africa. One person came from Liberia, was not properly treated initially, died in this country. Two nurses in Dallas now have contracted the disease and are under treatment. But the country has really gone very, very scared about what may happen. And many people are proposing a complete ban on travel from the African countries involved. Do you support a complete travel ban?
Sam, at this point, with what doctors and professionals have said is that there would be a concern with the complete travel ban. That's something that I'm concerned with that position. But making sure that we're testing those individuals, whether they're getting on the plane or off the plane, to make sure we're able to find those that are infected with Ebola is what I believe in.
And so your answer is no, you don't support it.
At this point, listening to what the experts in the field are, Sam, that's
my
position.
Mr. Byrd.
You know, the number one priority of the federal government should be to protect the people of America. And for that reason, I believe that we should have a travel ban until we are certain that this disease has contained and treated and wiped off our concern list. It's going to be tough.
Okay.
We recognize that, but yes, we need to protect American
people. Okay, next question. Do you believe new federal gun control laws are necessary? Mr. Byrd.
I don't believe in that you can legislate gun control. You can only ban certain people from owning firearms or certain firearms from being owned altogether. I do not support any form of federal banning of weapons whatsoever.
So your answer is no, you don't believe in new laws. Congressman?
Sam, I support the Second Amendment and also in common sense solutions like mandatory background checks, which should not be controversial, investments with mental and behavioral health. Senator Domenici always supported those programs, and sadly now they've been more controversial over the years. They shouldn't be.
All right, next question, and it's a 10-seconder. Do you agree that gay marriage, which is now legal in New Mexico, according to the courts, should be legal? Mr. Byrd.
No, I don't.
Congressman Lujan.
Sam, this is a matter of civil rights, and gay and lesbian couples make the same contributions that you and I do, paying taxes, small businesses.
So the answer is yes, Congressman.
I believe that we should make sure that we treat everyone equally under the law.
All right, back to the big questions. The United States and many other nations are mobilizing now to stop this rampage in the Middle East by a group that we believe are terrorists, and I think for good reason. It is the group ISIS. They want a state in Syria and Iraq, a Muslim state, and they are killing a lot of people. Now, President Obama says there will not be boots on the ground from the United States. Aid will be given, airstrikes are being given as we speak. But there are many people who think there should be, or at least it's going to be inevitable. One of them is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dempsey, who says in order to stop them, I think we may have to do it. And John Boehner, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, has said, yes, we should do it. Do you support, if the President asks Congress for authorization, do you support putting American boots on the ground in a fight against ISIS, Mr. Byrd?
For me, this issue is very sensitive, having two boys, and the thought of going to war. But if the decision is made that force is to be used, I believe that the Congress then needs to get out of the way. Politics needs to go aside, and that we allow the military, the generals, determine what is the best move forward in order to accomplish the goal. And it's that simple. Allow the generals to do what they have been trained and do best, and politics and politicians need to get out of their way.
Congressman?
Sam, I didn't hear my opponent answer the question about whether he supports boots on the ground or not. In an earlier interview, he said that he did support boots on the ground. And then at a forum that we did with Santa Fe Reporter last week, he suggested the same answer, not taking a position on this. Look, the United States, while involved with airstrikes, is something I support. but making sure that the United States is in and involved every step of the way. Other countries and allies have to have skin in the game as well. And so at this time, I do not support troops on the ground out there. We need to make sure that we're playing our role, and that right now is with intelligence and airstrikes, and other nations need to provide support to us. We can't remember that some of those that were on the ground before cut and ran when it came to Afghanistan, trained individuals, police officers, and things of that nature. We need to make sure that we're providing the support necessary and that the U.S. plays the proper role. And I believe at this time, based on the debates and not only the information that we've received, but also the briefings, that boots on the ground by U.S. troops is something that we should not support.
Well, now, Mr. Bird, I think you said that if the generals request it, and of course it would be President Obama who actually makes the decision, but based on the general's request, you would support that.
I absolutely support if the generals feel it is necessary. If they don't think it's necessary, then why would we push it? We need to allow the military to do what they are trained to do best. Once that decision is made, it's in their hands.
What do you say to the families? You have two sons. You have constituents who have sons and daughters who are going to be involved in something like this. If, in fact, they come into harm's way, is it important enough to the United States to stop these people, that we once again lose good Americans in a cause?
Sam, absolutely. The United States needs to have a role in stopping these people that are doing horrific things and killing people. We have to be involved, and that's why I've been very clear. When the president asked for support with airstrikes and intelligence, that's support that I lent. But again, making sure that all of our allies are going to be involved in this. This is not just a United States issue. This is a global issue. These people are doing bad things to people around the world, and they need to be stopped in the same way that President Obama went after and killed Osama bin Laden.
A final question on this one, and that is, does the president have the authority on his own to do this, or must, according to the Constitution or any law that you want to cite, or your own personal feeling, must he come to Congress and ask for authorization before he sends American troops into harm's way?
He has a certain amount of time that he can take action, and if it is necessary for that to continue past the 60 days, 90 days requirement.
The War Powers Act.
And yeah. more actions are needed, then he needs to be able to come to Congress and say, we need to continue this and convince the men and women in Congress to vote yes or no. Once that is done, again, then we move forward. And the congressman and I actually agree that ISIS is an important enemy of the United States of America, and that they have to be handled in a manner that it protects citizens of America. And that's the priority that has to be number one on the government's mind whenever they're taking this into account.
Okay.
Will this protect Americans?
Congressman, the president must come to Congress or not?
Sam, this is a place where Democrats and Republicans in the Congress absolutely agree. There's clear constitutional power inherited with the legislative branch of government. The president must go to the Congress to ask before he goes to war.
Okay, another big question, immigration reform or not? And if there's immigration reform, would you favor the type which would allow most of the people who are here now, about 11 million who are undocumented workers that came in legally, to stay? And even some of them perhaps have a route to American citizenship. Mr. Byrd?
Well, the number one priority to me is secure the borders. Because of groups like ISIS, and we know that they're trying to work their way into America to do harm to Americans, we have to secure the borders. Once that is done, then we start working with the people that are here. I'm not one who says let's round them up and send them back. But I also recognize that they have broken the law the day they came across that border and every day that they are here. So there has to be a way to handle them. I think that we need to do a guest worker program again. Reinstate what was known as the green card program. Allow people to go back home to their families and come back to their job, their place of employment freely and not be concerned and no longer hide in the shadows. And then we also need to streamline the current process of becoming a legalized citizen so that those who choose to be an American citizen can do it in a manner that isn't going to cost them thousands of dollars and take years of their life to find out if they will ever become a citizen of America. We need to streamline that system so that they become a productive citizen of America.
Would they have to go back to their host country and stand in line at the end of the line to become U.S. citizens, or would there be some process that they stay in the United States and then have a route?
I don't want to round them up and make them go back. I think that they need to be documented that they're here. I think that because they've violated the laws, like I said, the day they came across and every day they're here, that they have forfeited their right to ever become a citizen. But that doesn't mean that they are going to be kicked out of the country. I think that They need to stay here. They're already productive. They've got a job, but they need to be documented. We need to know where they're at, what they're doing, and make sure they start paying taxes in a proper manner.
Congressman?
Sam, I absolutely support comprehensive immigration reform. You know, and sadly, many of our colleagues characterize this legislation as amnesty. It's not amnesty. What happened under President Reagan was amnesty, where there were no other responsibilities for individuals other than, if you're here, we're going to deem you citizens. This legislation that passed the United States Senate with bipartisan support falls in line exactly with what my opponent, Jefferson Byrd, is describing. It requires more support on the border. It requires securing that border. It provides a path forward so that you can get a green card, a worker program, and provides a path forward that takes about 13, 14 years before you'd ever even be able to get in that line for that citizenship. It's tough, but it's fair, and that's what we need to do. Recognizing that the CBO has said that this would reduce the deficit by about $900 billion. I think there's a reason why faith-based organizations, the United States Chamber of Commerce, tech industry, ag industry, all support this bill. We need to get this done, and it makes a difference, especially for our dairies down in the eastern side of New Mexico.
Trying to sort through the two positions as you enunciated them tonight, and with limited time, you seem to be much closer together than many people would suspect, because many Republicans, as you know, Mr. Byrd, believe it would be amnesty to let them remain under any condition because they've broken our laws, but you don't.
I don't, because they never become a citizen. And as our congressman's position just stated, he believes a path to citizenship. I think they have forfeited that because they've broken the laws. However, they are already here. We need to deal with them properly. We need to prevent new people from coming in. And he mentioned the plan that came out in the 80s under Ronald Reagan. And the reality was, yeah, we will make citizens out of these people because they're already here. And then we will secure our border. Well, the second part of that deal never occurred. So first, we have to secure the border, because it's clear that unless actions are taken to secure the border, that we don't know what the future administrations and Congress is going to do. And so we have to do that first, secure our borders.
Another word?
Sam, you know, I thought we were closer than that. I do support a path to citizenship. And 2 years ago on this very show, this very debate, the question was asked of us by the audience that was here, asking us not only our support for the DREAM Act, but for immigration reform. And my opponent said he agreed with me. And now it seems that he's changed that position. I know he's getting on me for answering, but someone has to fact check him. And so that's why I'm here, to make sure that we're able to deliver those facts. Comprehensive immigration reform is important. What's passed the U.S. Senate should be brought to the floor. And it's Republican House Speaker Boehner that has refused to let us vote on it. If that bill would come up for a vote, Sam, I would say that 230 to 250 House members would vote in favor of it. We have to get this done.
Well, you know, I'm aware of the fact that after his reelection in 2004, President George W. Bush worked very hard with John McCain and with Democrats to try to get Congress to pass a comprehensive immigration reform bill. And it never quite happened. And so here we are today. So I have a related question, not just for this, but for lots of other national problems. Congress at the moment seems to be in deadlock. I mean, it's in partisan deadlock, ideological deadlock. Things don't get done, because the old days of when, you know, whoever had the votes won and you went ahead and you implemented it and hoped that it would work. Now, both sides will stop it if you don't agree with me. And besides, I'm not sure a very good American. I hate to throw that in, but you hear this on talk shows all over. How do we break this partisan deadlock in Congress? Can you, will you, Mr. Byrd, if you're in Congress, will you work with the Democrats? Or will you fear that your constituents say, well, he can't compromise, my goodness, his principles? How do you approach this?
Well, first, I want to make sure there's a distinction between compromise and capitulation. I will compromise. I think it's important that we make compromises. However, I believe we need to reduce taxes. A compromise to me is not raising taxes. That's not a compromise. That's capitulating
position. That's the other side's position. So you wouldn't compromise saying they have that position, you have yours, let's split the middle or find something else.
Right, so
we're
going to have to discuss issues that we do have agreement on, and I think we can see where we have agreement. Securing the border is something that I will not compromise on. That has to be done first. That needs to be a priority.
Do you think many Democrats don't want to secure the border?
I would think that they would, and that's why we need single issue, simple bills, and not these 22,000-page monstrosities that nobody really knows what's in, and it's hard to get a compromise. We need single-issue bills in Washington, and go away from these huge bills and go to the simple issues and one at a time work our way through it. And then we will be able to sit down and actually have a compromise, a discussion about what's best for America and get it done.
Well, Congressman Lujan, I've noticed that many Democrats say it's the Republicans' fault because they will not compromise. And yet if you examine positions, often some members of your party in powerful positions, they won't compromise either. Would you pledge to work with the Republicans? Do you have a record of doing so? With true compromise, not just it's my way or the highway.
Sam, absolutely. This is one of the areas that Congress has to heal when it comes to the lack of civility that we see today. You know, getting advice from people like Manuel Lujan throughout the years, he said you need to make sure that you get a chance to know members personally as well. Because what's happening today is it's easier to call someone else a nasty name if you don't know them. And in the end, you have to try to find a way to work with one another. And not only do I have a record of working with Republicans, I'm proud of the fact that I've co-founded at least two caucuses, the Tech Transfer Caucus with Republicans and the National Labs and Energy Caucus with Republicans. I've also voted for over $1 trillion in cuts when there was supposed to be a deal on the table to bring a balanced approach with revenue. We have to find a way to work with one another. And I think people across the country need to encourage their members to find a way to compromise, that it's not a bad word. It's a good thing. It's how our nation was founded, the Great Compromise. Can you imagine if people would have left the convention and said they're going to take their ball with home and run out on the voters? That's not the right answer, and that's not what people should be doing. They shouldn't run out on people, they shouldn't run out of meetings, and they shouldn't run out on voters.
Another word?
You know, it's interesting that we have this situation where he mentions all these issues, and he voted for tax cuts, and yet National Taxpayer Union has said he's in the top 4% of big spenders. Where are we seeing that here in CD3? Compromise needs to be done, but it needs to be in a manner that's actually productive for the people of northern New Mexico. It needs to be done in a manner that's preserving jobs and our heritage here in northern New Mexico. It needs to be done in a manner that will actually move New Mexico and the United States forward.
But you know, Mr. Byrd, isn't that the rub? Something that needs to be done that's productive for New Mexico. Your view of what's productive for New Mexico and his view of what's productive in New Mexico may be different. If you're saying, hey, mine is productive for New Mexico, I can't compromise. And if he says the same thing, how do we break it?
Elect me.
I won't give you the right reply. I think we know where you stand on that issue. All right, you're both on the ballot this November, and the election is coming up. Someone else is on the ballot. His name is Barack Obama. He says he wants to be. He says his policies are on the ballot in the sense that people will be voting for somebody because of his policies. And in fact, on Monday of this week, he even went farther and said, hey, the Democrats are up for re-election. Most of them, he didn't mention you by name, most of them vote for my policies. So he's very unpopular now, according to the polls. Some of his best Democratic supporters in the past have now publicly said he lost his way in Iraq, didn't do the right thing, etc. So, Congressman Lujan, you start. What do you think about Barack Obama's leadership? Are you tied to him? Are you running away from him this election?
Sam, the president's working hard, and especially given all the obstruction that's been thrown at him. From day one, Mitch McConnell, the minority leader in the United States Senate, highest-ranking Republican, said it doesn't matter what the president wants to try to accomplish, we're going to make sure that he fails. And that's what Republicans have done from day one, given that we were facing the deepest recession that the country had ever seen going back to the Depression. We never saw our Republican colleagues willing to work with him. Now, I've been critical of the president as well. When he put chain CPI on the table, I was one of the loudest advocates. When his administration, through Secretary Jay Johnson, suggested that the 2008 anti-human trafficking law should be amended to make it harder for those that are fleeing the most violent places in the world, I stood up to them. And so while we may find disagreement, we need to make sure that we're looking at what's happened in the country and how we can advocate for a stronger economy. And I'm here to represent New Mexico, but no, I'm not running away from the president.
Has he been a good leader?
I think the president has been working as hard as he possibly can. You know, look at 54 consecutive months, the longest stretch of private sector job growth in the history of the country, even with Republicans standing the way every step of the way. We need to find a way to work together. Even under President Reagan, Democrats found a way to work with him. Under President Clinton, Democrats found a way to work with him. We need to find a way to work together towards the betterment of the country, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
The president's leadership.
Well, first off, if a golf outing every afternoon or every other afternoon is working as hard as he can, then he doesn't understand the value of hard work. He needs to come down to a ranch and find out what it is to work every day for 7 days a week. That's working hard as you can, from daylight to sundown. The reality is, the reason people have been pushing back is because of the result. Look at how our economy is today. Look at how our healthcare system is today. Look at what is going on to families who aren't getting raises, who aren't seeing an improvement in their lives and their livelihoods, who's working harder and harder every day just to make ends meet here in New Mexico. The reason we're pushing back on those policies is because it's bad for New Mexico. It's bad for America. And we have to change that. And it's us, the voters, that are going to have to do it.
So you're running against Congressman Lujan, but you also think that you're running against Barack Obama, and you have the plus there. Is that it?
Well, you know, I rarely talk about President Obama and what he's doing, but other than Obamacare, and it was our congressman who voted for Obamacare, and he promised us, our congressman promised us, family of four would save, on average, $2,500 per year. We're not seeing that. That average is $3,000 more per year per family of four. I am running against that because that's hurting my businesses, and it's hurting businesses all the way across northern New Mexico. It's hurting families. Those increased costs, the losing insurance, and the reality is the reports have shown, even in the Huffington Post, that we're not getting rid of those who are uninsured, which was one of the main
goals.
Well,
let's go to that subject. It's on my list. Should the affordable...
But, Jeff, if I could respond to some of those attacks there. Sam, look, the Albuquerque Journal recently wrote an article that it was the very individuals that Governor Martinez appointed to the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange and then Superintendent of Insurance. I gave you the article, Jeff, up in Los Alamos, that suggested that rates were going to drop next year. Their words, not mine. But if you tell me that it's better to have insurance companies in your business than you and your doctor, that's not a policy that I believe in. We need to make sure that we're looking at protecting individuals. And, Jeff, I hope you're as critical of Governor Martinez as you are President Obama. Under Governor Martinez, New Mexico's economy went from 15th in job creation to 49th, while the neighboring states are seeing job creation. We need to talk about the facts and hold people accountable as well.
Well, we're talking about the Affordable Care Act, and I was simply going to ask Mr. Byrd and then you, should it be repealed?
You know, this is a bad bill. I am for repealing this bill and starting over in simple fixes such as tort reform to protect doctors from frivolous lawsuits, medical savings accounts that are tax-deferred so that people can actually spend less money having it tax-free, and then interstate commerce for insurance providers so that we can shop from California to Maine and find the lowest price plan that will fit our needs as a family, will help reduce actual costs to insurance. Those simple fixes have been shown to save money in Texas and Wyoming and other states, and those was the model that the federal government should have been using.
But do you have a plan or support a plan that would bring these some 45 million people who were uninsured before the ADC began into the system so they don't just go to the emergency room? Your fixes that you've mentioned certainly would help me. I can afford insurance on my own, but what about the people who don't have insurance?
Well, again, by making health care more affordable, it makes it easier for people to go and buy that insurance plan that they need for their family. The reality is there's a large number of those who are in that indestructible age that don't believe they need insurance. And I was one of those. In my 20s, I didn't have insurance.
We were going to live forever.
Right. I was going to live forever, and sadly, I'm not, because I'm pretty awesome. But the reality is we just need to reduce the rates so that people can get the insurance and health care they need.
I know your answer, but let's hear it. Do you want to repeal the Affordable Care
Act? Sam, I have voted 50 times not to repeal the Affordable Care Act with our Republican colleagues.
Do you think it's going to work
ultimately? Well, quickly before I get to that point, you know, my opponent, I'm glad that he answered the question today that he's for repeal now, because originally that was his position, and that at a recent forum he said not necessarily for repeal. We can't be changing our responses based on where we are. The Affordable Care Act, Sam, needs to be improved. And that's where I've been encouraging my Republican colleagues, especially those that are moderates, that can bring Democrats and Republicans together to say, how can we find some common sense solutions? Again, I don't want insurance companies to be back in charge so they can throw you off the rolls when you're sick, that when you hit lifetime caps, when you have cancer or diabetes, that you get thrown off those rolls. And we need to make sure that we're looking to make healthcare more affordable as well. And what my colleagues don't like to talk about is that before the Affordable Care Act, we were seeing increases between 15 and 17% every year. Now we're seeing increases, but they are lower. And again, I go back to that Albuquerque Journal article based on what they're looking at in New Mexico specifically. The New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange professionals, some of which were appointed by Governor Martinez, have said that next year in New Mexico, we're going to see those rates go down.
Okay, let's go back now to the 10-second questions. Yes or no, if you can. Take another two or three sentences, if you must. Beginning with you, Mr. Byrd, should New Mexico become a right-to-work state?
Yeah, I believe it should become a right-to-work state. I mean, it was one of the issues that Tesla brought up, was that because we're not. The reality is we're losing great opportunities here in New Mexico. And so I am in favor of going to right-to-work.
How about it?
Sam, I do not believe New Mexico should be a right-to-work state. You know, my father, who sadly passed away a couple years ago, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. When we see protections that are not put in place for employees and workers when they're exposed to things like asbestos and different elements, when he was up on those high areas welding, that's not good. And we can make sure that we have a strong economy while we protect the rights of workers and we advocate for fair wages as well while making sure we're supporting commerce. Those are things that we can do in New Mexico. They've been done before and they can happen again. When New Mexico was strong in the economy, we saw a strong effort here, and we can go back to that.
All right, Congressman. Next question. Medical marijuana is legal in New Mexico, but do you support the legalization of marijuana for recreational use in New Mexico, Mr. Byrd?
It was interesting. Just yesterday, this subject came up when I was knocking doors in Clovis. A lady that has been diagnosed with brain trauma, the regular medicines weren't working, so they put her on prescription marijuana. And she was adamant that that should not become recreational use. She could not believe the impacts it has on her life and her body.
Well, what do you think?
So I agree with her. Okay. I don't think it should be for recreational use.
Congressman?
Sam, I support medical marijuana, but we need to watch closely what's happening up in Colorado and Washington State before we weigh in. But this is an issue that also should be up to the voters to determine what's going to happen in New Mexico in the same way that it was in both in Colorado and in Washington.
Term limits. One of the prospective viewers, I hope that person is viewing, said, ask them about term limits. Do you favor term limits for congressional offices, Mr. Byrd?
Yeah, this is going to become a state issue. The reality is the states are going to have to do a constitutional convention because we know they're not going to limit themselves out of a job. But I am in favor of term limits.
Why? What's your reason?
Well, you know, it's basically come time for a bad idea. We need to be limiting the amount of time that people spend in Washington because the fact is whether you're in prison or in D.C., you become accustomed to the society you're living in. We need to make sure that people are coming back to New Mexico and living here in New Mexico and taking that experience to Washington to work on fixing the problems.
Your favorite term limits?
Sam, I would say term limits exist today. Every 2 years in the United States Congress, the strongest term limit policy we have in America is democracy. It's based on the voters and the constituents. If they don't think you're doing a good job, they come and they say so. But if they entrust you with that responsibility, it should be up to the people. And that's the approach that I take, is that this should be up to the community and to the voters, not something that's mandatorily passed along. And the other thing that's never talked about, Sam, is when you would institute those term limits as well, you should also impose them on the staff.
So because if not, you're empowering someone. You're not in favor of term limits. Again, I'm going to try to limit to a short answer.
Correct, sir.
Big question. There's a fierce debate in this country over climate change and whether human activity has contributed in any marked and perhaps dangerous way to the global warming. The fact that we're warming globally is something that's a fact. But the argument is over the latter part of the question. Do you believe, Mr. Byrd, that we, humans, in our activity, are contributing in some dangerous way to this global warming?
Well, first, let me say I'm an environmental engineer. I'm a scientist, and my involvement was to study what's happening in the environment. The reality is we don't know. And as a scientist, the answer is we don't know. We need further studies. We need to find out what the truth is. My opponent has used the 97% of scientists agree that it's man-made. Even that 97% number is in question. It comes from the University of Queensland in Australia. And this professor who came up with the number has promised litigation to anybody who tries to find out how he came to that number. The reality is it doesn't improve New Mexico. This discussion is not going to move jobs forward here in New Mexico. We need to be talking about jobs, the economy, how our families are going to get better, and how our living conditions in New Mexico can be improved.
Congressman?
Sam, climate change and global warming are taking place. People are contributing to it. Again, Jeff's right when he talks about 97% of climate scientists agree. And again, when my opponent, I guess he's more on track here than even our physicists, engineers, and scientists over at NASA. I'd encourage everyone to go to our site there and check NASA.gov. Look at the important science that's taking place, modeling that's taking place at Los Alamos National Laboratories, looking at the trends in warming of the oceans. The reduction of the Arctic caps and Arctic ice by 13.7% every year. They're not growing. They're actually shrinking. That's what science and data presents itself. We need to get our hands around this, admit that it's a problem, and see what we can do to be more responsible when it comes to making investments with energy efficiency, developing more resources when it comes to renewables, wind. Not only is it providing more revenue stream to our farmers and ranchers here in the eastern side of New Mexico, but it promotes a cleaner way of producing electricity. These are all things we can do. They create jobs, but we need to admit it's a problem before we can tackle it.
Oh, it's a problem. And if I understand your answers, both of you suggest we need more data. We need to continue to study the situation. How long do we have? Because scientists also tell us that if, in fact, we are doing this, there's a tipping point beyond which you don't come back. So the question is, what action should we, if any, take today? Keeping in mind it would cost jobs, it would cost business, it would cost money, it would cost a change in our way of life if we took strong action. Mr. Byrd?
Well, first off, Congressman mentioned the polar ice caps. The fact of the matter is the Antarctic is as big as it's ever been measured. The ice is as thick as it's been in recent history.
Well, but
it isn't warming.
My question, sir, was I understand you say we need more data.
Right, we need more data. And let's go back to what happened during the hole in the ozone. We were able to measure it. All of a sudden we found out there's a hole over the Antarctic. We rapidly run out. We get rid of R12, one of the best coolants we ever had. We got rid of the process to use fireproofing, which resulted in the death of astronauts. And then we pass these laws, we get it done, we're all patting ourselves
so
on the back.
So you're not worried
just
that we run out of time, sir?
That hole naturally aspirates.
I understand.
We have to give
I'm
science time.
I'm asking about not the hole in the ozone layer. I understand your point. But do you think we still have time to continue to study it? That's your position. I'm not arguing against
you. We absolutely have time because science does not happen overnight. You start with a hypothesis, then you go to a theory, and then you determine fact. That doesn't happen overnight. We have to study this.
So when do we decide we have to take action, if ever?
Sam, we need to start taking action. I believe
this
is a real
problem. What actions would you take,
Congressman? Well, even the Department of Defense, through Secretary Chuck Hagel, has recently said that from a national security perspective, we need to start talking about what's happening to our bases as well in areas where we're going to see sea level rise, the importance of energy efficiency, weaning ourselves off of fossil fuels with our bases because it's costing lives with our soldiers as well. I believe that we should generate more power from renewables as well in the country. We can be smarter about that. And the low-hanging fruit, Sam, is energy efficiency. We can go in and we can weatherize homes, make improvements to them. We provide more value to the homeowner.
Who would pay for that, Congressman?
We can all pay for it through different programs.
Taxation?
And different,
the government? I mean,
the federal government should be participating in this, local
where
governments.
Where do they get the money?
Private. Well, Sam, it's a matter of priorities. So as we look at the federal budget with investments that we're making today, I think there's a reason why this research is supported. I hope my opponent supports this research. But as we look at energy efficiency programs, when I was on the Public Regulation Commission here in New Mexico, we advocated for energy efficiency programs and were able to move a model forward working with the state, with the utilities, and with private individuals to be able to support these programs. And they were working. That's a way where you can bring everyone together to support the investment of these programs. Okay. Simply ignoring this problem is bad. And I'll just say, Sam, when we had the Clean Air Act, utilities said that they would go bankrupt, the economy would fall. They actually did more than they were required to do to eliminate NOx and SOx in the economy group.
A final word on the subject, if you choose, Mr. Byrd.
You know, right now we have the EPA going out and limiting the amount of CO2 based on global warming. It's not based on sound science, and it's resulting in job losses in coal mines. It's resulting in job losses in the power plants that produce almost 40% of the power in America. We can't be rash in our decision-making. We have to allow the science to bear real fruit. And the reality is, this is not science. We're talking a lot of platitudes and hyperboles. And the reality is, it's not helping how America moves forward.
A 10-second question to end our debate before closing statements. And I'm going to have to be very tough on the time here. Should business owners have the right to refuse to include birth control in their employees' medical insurance based on the owner's religious beliefs? Mr. Byrd.
Absolutely.
Congressman.
Sam, if we're still having a debate about contraception in 2014, I think that there's other things we should be talking about here. This is an area where I think that we need to be able to respect the individual lives as well, as opposed to pushing those requirements on individuals.
All right. It's time now for closing statements. And Mr. Byrd, you go first.
I want to thank KNW and you, Mr. Donaldson, for this event. My name is Jeff Byrd, and I want to be your representative. go to my website, jeffbirdforcongress.com. See what my real positions are. See where we can take this state, how we can make it a more productive state. Our congressman recently said in an Albuquerque Journal article that he wishes that New Mexico could see the job growth that the bordering states around us are seeing. I wish that too. He's in a position of leadership. He needs to take action to prevent, get those jobs moving forward. If he needs to, we have to look at what those states are doing right to get those jobs moving, and we can do that here in New Mexico. I have faith in you, the New Mexicans, to do what is right, and that's why I'm asking for your vote in this election. JeffBirdForCongress.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bird, and now Congressman Lujan.
Sam, again, to you and to PBS, I want to thank you for hosting tonight. For Mr. Bird for being here as well. These are important conversations and discussions to get a chance to visit with voters as well. There's some clear differences between myself and Mr. Bird, and I hope that everyone tunes in to see those differences as well. Look, we want to encourage everyone to get out and vote. There's a lot happening in the country, and especially when it comes to Medicare and Social Security. You heard tonight, my opponent wants to privatize those programs, where I will stand up and fight every day to prevent privatization of those important programs. He wants to get rid of the Department of Education. Again, that means getting rid of Pell Grants and access to early childhood programs when it comes to pre-K. We can do better. We want to encourage you to get out and vote. Early voting has already begun. Please get out. I'm proud to be the son of Ben and Carmen Lujan as well. Being raised in a small farm up in northern New Mexico, it makes me who I am. I'll never forget where I come from, and I love this land we call home. I believe in New Mexico, and I believe in New Mexicans. Please get involved. Make your voice heard, no matter what your philosophical beliefs are. Please get out and vote.
Thank you very much, and I want to compliment both of you debaters, Congressman Ben Ray Lujan and Jefferson Bird, his challenger for this seat in Congress in the 3rd District of New Mexico. We've had a debate which I think at times was spirited and at times had passion. But that's the only kind of debates worth watching, the only kind of debates worth doing. A namby-pamby, really gentleman debate with no issues is a waste of everybody's time, and you have not wasted, in my view, the viewer's time. And I think you both have scored your points and made your positions clear. At times, perhaps, a little fence straddling, but then we wouldn't be human if we didn't do that. Enough about me. Thank you for being with us. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here at KNEW and supporting PBS. It's very important. This is what you get from PBS. I'm Sam Donaldson. Good evening.